Australian Bible Church. And today, February the 24th, we're a Presbyterian church following the Bible without qualification. God doesn't need help. And the Lord Jesus Christ without compromise, there's no other Savior. Our topic, the glory of the gospel, focusing Colossians 1:27. And looking at the whole of Colossians 1, is now in its third phase. This is part 3. We've been looking firstly at the products of the glory of the gospel, Christians, and their relationship to the Savior. We've been looking at the producer, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Lord of glory, via a virgin, taking the form of flesh, having left the form of God. We've looked at the panorama. We've noted that there is no mystery whatever regarding the love of God toward all, because it's clearly stated. God so loved the world, he didn't come to condemn the world, but the world should be saved. He made peace by the blood of the cross from our Colossians 1 here. He pleased the Father to reconcile all things. We don't need to worry about that. There's no mystery there. The mystery we noted was the mystery of iniquity, as you see in 2 Thessalonians 2. There's a mystery for you. Who can know the heart but the Lord, as Jeremiah tells us, from the Lord? The mystery of iniquity, grasping and grabbing, unrepentant and inventive man, leading to denudation, deceit, and then intimidation of the human race, until many are afraid even to speak or lift their voices, lest in China, lest in India, lest in the Middle East, and now increasingly lest in Australia, they be given subjects of legal assault for offending someone, even if it were the devil, who is well known as being able to inhabit people and give a great stimulus to all sorts of offence. We come now this morning to the profundity of it all. We've already been looking at the three mysteries in one concerning the gospel and its prophetic announcement beforehand, the coming together of Jew and Gentile on the basis of the same gospel, and the marvel from Romans 16 that it's partly through the gospel and partly through the preaching of the gospel, partly through the prophetic basis, it's all come. We know that the identity crisis, where people without Christ hardly know who they are. And we've looked at the startling wonder of the totality of it all, that God should actually make people in his image and then take that image and do what was needed to ransack the people from their mouse plague of sin and bring them back home where it's hygienic and holy. God, however, in making this prodigiously simple and simply prodigious action of coming here and doing it all himself, is still averse to sin and neither double dealing using scriptural words with different meanings invented by six slick hearts. Neither double-dealing nor double-mindedness. Will I, won't I, won't I? I think I am a Christian. I hope I am Christian. I plan to be a Christian. Well, I think this is really Christian, don't you? Without reference to Christ. Double-dealing and double-mindedness achieve nothing but ruin in relationship to God. And all that might have been is reduced to zero. And so, we look at the stark options which result from these marvels of the gospel and its prodigiously generous dealings. The stark options of what is utterly unmysterious. Firstly, we consider there is only one truth. logic can't be treated and then used when anesthetized. If you can't reason, then you can't reason for your ideas. There's but one truth, there's but one who gives it. God doesn't need help, and there's only one infinity back of our finite selves. For sin, snarl, guilt, and guile, and for the redemptive offer, there is but one with a capital O. Of saviors, there's one. He provides eternal relief, mind, spirit, and all the ramifications of our life on earth. The earth is literally littered with the failure of every other imagination of the hearts of men. As we're told in Ecclesiastes, God made man upright, but he has had many visions, ideas, imaginations. And as we look at that side of things, looking at the options and their starkness, we look at nature. It shrieks for its maker. But look at sin. It demands an answer. Increasingly sick societies are finding their money isn't sufficient to do all the indulgent claptrap, catastrophic philosophic nonsenses which they have in mind. They borrow from atheists, and increasingly their hearts are lost to the rabid failures of having a nature which invents itself so it can then invent our nature. How marvellous! You either beg the question or put matter in from nowhere. Then matter has to make mind, mind has to make spirit, and everything has to make haste to its doom. In fact, we find nothing bringing mind out of matter, nothing bringing spirit out of mind, and nothing bringing matter out of nothing. How could it? All this talk of nature. Where did the nature come from? All the capacities of God. I say nature shrieks for its maker. Sin demands an answer. Man can't catch up with all his follies, all his new revolutionary educational commitments, which provide for everything imaginable, but spirit and courage and meaning and truth and understanding and vision, and victory, and understanding of what man is. That is out. What's in? Atheism is practically in, for God is removed from all practical relevance. Sin demands an answer. The finances are only showing what the psychic body of the people has shown for decades and longer. Thirdly, God has provided an answer. These are stark options. You can go where you want, and then where it goes. God hasn't denied anything. He doesn't hide our sin. He doesn't hide his presence. He doesn't hide his word. He doesn't hide its fulfillments. Man tries to prop up nature, but it falls as an idol. But it's not only the ludicrous considerations of physical nature. Where did it come from? Who am I? How did I begin? Why do we never see it happening now? What happened that it all came? Why don't we see it all now? Why don't we see new DNA sprinkling themselves about? Why do we never find information being made without intelligence? What happened? How did it come? It can't be God. Why not? Not fashionable, I think. Not fashionable. Logic is forgotten, life is forgotten, and the luxury of self-indulgence doesn't work. Well, God has provided the answer. We've looked at the ludicrous considerations of physical nature, so we turn now to the ludicrous failure in human nature, which is just as much a nature as any other nature. There's the nature of matter, there's the nature of energy, there's the nature of light, there's the nature of life at all. And there's human nature, and there's the nature of human nature. It's all given. What you need is not silly, fact-denying fiascos about where it all comes from, as though nothing is so productive. You need to look at what it is and deal with it. human nature. This is dealt with at length in chapter 3 of Shatavamati Rock and chapter 4. In Australia, it's being dealt with at considerable length also. In the last few months, with an anti-discrimination bill showing the travesty of human nature. Where is humor? Where is irony? Where is that blessed interchange of personal lights and variabilities and shades? Where is the whole deep understanding of man for man? It's gone. Don't you dare offend anybody. It doesn't matter who he is. Don't you dare intimidate. It doesn't matter if it's on his feelings. If he feels intimidated, he is intimidated. And you will be called guilty until you show otherwise, once the matter is put in place. Guilty! So what do you do? You have to go, perhaps. And they say, well, now you're guilty, you know. Guilty? Of what? Well, this man says he's offended. He's not supposed to be offended. And he says you offended him. But that's ridiculous. You are guilty. I beg your pardon. You are guilty. How do you know? You are guilty until you prove your innocence. Right, so someone says, I murdered him. Oh, no, that's different. Why is it different? You murdered him. He says you murdered him. You are guilty. How much nonsense can you get? He says you offended him. You have offended him. How do you know that he's not looking for money? Revenge. How do you know that it's not some sort of pique or fit or psychological extravaganza enjoying his moment of power? How do you know? How do you know anything? At such depths, the Lord says that as to the heart of man, who can know it? You think you know it? You think you can display justice by such monumental moral madness as this? And so the man sits there, and maybe they bring you together, the one who is offended. Where did I offend you? I felt offended. Oh, how terrible. Now, don't remember, don't forget, you're guilty. Yes, administrator. And because you're guilty, you'd better act as though guilty. You're a guilty man. How dare you say I'm guilty? The law says you're guilty. Oh. Now, talk to the man you offended. How did I offend you? You just offend me. The way you spoke to me just then, that offends me more still. How infantile, not childish, infantile, can you get? This is seriously presented as a serious misrepresentation of human nature. Human nature is not like that. This is simplistic, almost sadistic, to allow people to be treated shamelessly as though they're some sort of conditioned relics. Churches, these two, they have to be governed by God? Oh, no, 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 no. But the Scotch Presbyterians and all those martyrs, they insisted they were going to be governed by God, not man. Oh, well, forget that. But that happened. People have died in thousands because they insist that they'll be governed by God, not man. Yeah, well, too bad. That's just unfortunate. Is that right? What about section 116 of the Constitution? The Commonwealth will institute no religion. This presentation of guilt requires what is right and wrong to be defined so that guilt has meaning. The definition concerns what human nature is, can be, should be, must be, and how you are to be educated to fit in with the state model of right and wrong. This is rule of religion by the Commonwealth. This is forbidden. This is unconstitutional. It's been unconstitutional for years in the schools where they have not allowed people to pipe up and contradict the religious fantasy which goes under the name of organic evolution. That in itself has been a revolution for decades. That's the state forcing the religious issue of creation on the people without permission, even from children, to answer back in decisive terms. It's been going for a long while. It's coming to the adults. You've allowed your children, in many cases, to be miseducated, and now you'll be confronted yourselves. A proper result of such reckless negligence or unfortunate anesthesia. Churches. Churches under the control of the Commonwealth government, contrary to constitution. How can one fail to say, be honest? You are wanting to change the Constitution and have already disobeyed it for decades. Now that you're coming up to the adult level, you have to ask the people whether you will be permitted to rule religion. That's what you've done, that's what you're doing, and it's now coming to a complete head. Someone will sit with you, and someone who says you've offended him, which makes you guilty, and you'll be taken to task as a guilty person until what? Until we get a new China? You know what they do in China? You have to be re-educated until you understand the state's doctrines. You may be humiliated by awful tasks, labor under duress. Your ears may be bombarded. Think back to administrators suggested for Australia. With strange morals. From strange religions. From a strange nation. Are we to be one like that? Re-educated. On what basis? A religious basis in a totalitarian display of dictatorship seized by the Commonwealth government in a putsch and allowed to continue. Unless somebody were to suggest, referendum please, take over by permission. You're here to keep the Constitution, not to make it change until people don't notice through all your misdemeanors. I said, churches, are they ruled? Well, they're given some exemptions. The church is allowed to do this and that. Should I say is allowed? I had perhaps better say, in the latest suggestion from the Senate Committee, was allowed to have certain privileges, such as employing people who agree with what it's about. You know, you wouldn't want to have a teacher saying under her breath, I think God's ridiculous all the time in a church group. They might not say it under their breaths, but they might say it with their breaths in the way they construct their sentences. We have a football team with a coach taken from cricket who's never played. The religion of the state. The recommendation is that schools be not Christian schools permitted to have staff selected to conform to their ideals and purposes. You must have a football coach in cricket. You must have a cricket coach in football. Don't we understand anything? Yeah, well, that's the problem. We do understand a thing or two. And we understand that this is a dictatorial push. If this people does not force a referendum, it is asking for all that it will get. While we're on that topic, let it be mentioned that dealing with human nature and the failure of people to deal with human nature, there's been an immense outcry about this bill. Even people high in the domain of law and other fields have said that it is, in effect, a dagger in the heart of freedom. This is a disaster. Dereliction for morals in Australia. There have been many words from high-placed people, but so far they have not been attended to. But we must remember another thing. Justice is involved. Is it just to have someone who feels, have somebody who feels, called guilty because the first person who feels and feels sick with his feelings has said it first? Is this feely magic religion seriously to be taken? Justice is ignored. What is right? What is demonstrable? What is proven? That is not to the point. What is felt is to the point. The Aboriginal issue is similar. Is one race to have a different relationship to the law to another? Racism, we're supposed to be against if we have it. There is already, in this area of offence, a discriminatory, divisive and patronising provision regarding the Aborigines in offence. That is a disastrous mistreatment of that body of Australia. It's a shocking way of making them different and to be nannyized. It's a shameless way of removing their faces under the anti-arm of an act of government which can't let them be their own people. Must have them surrounded by a difference, a dedicated difference. One thing has to be mentioned. Sure, it's great to do things for anyone you can help, including Aborigines. The Bible does indeed say, Blessed are the merciful. Amen. Blessed are the merciful. But he does not say, blessed are the unjust. Justice involves equal treatment. You can be prodigiously merciful, but don't mess with justice. Blessed are the unjust is a new invention for this land. So man tries to institute, whether in physical nature, material nature, mental nature, social nature, political nature, and human nature, what he wants. But God would have all, having made peace with the blood of Christ, reconciled to himself, not to hideous distortions of human nature or any other nature, not vacuous visions. The USSR had a marvelous vision, didn't it? From each according to his need, from each according to his ability. Did those thousands of people in the Ukraine who were put into Siberia for the evil of having had a farm, did they need Siberia? Did Brezhnev need a stable of foreign cars? Do the apparatchiks need access to luxury markets for food? What is this delusion and deceit? USSR became in some ways a magnified thuggery. Thugs ruled and used their methods. The God of forces of which the Bible speaks was replacing the God of grace and mercy and forgiveness, the God of desire that all should be saved, turned into a different sort of being, delivered from distortion and brought back to truth and wisdom and honor and justice and pity and compassion and understanding and God. And God, as we are told, at such tremendous force in Colossians, has provided all that is needed. In the Bible is the historic record of what God did. He did it once. One religion, calling itself Christian, even wants to do it again, Sunday after Sunday or any other day, sacrificing Christ again. If it meant that his breaking of the bread was an actuality, he would have committed suicide, as one of the martyrs pointed out. Some call the priest's father. Call no man on earth father, for God is your father. What are we dealing with? Let's be clear. One God, one word, one coherent Bible, one result, one testable text. Truly, Colossians is filled with the theme of the glory of the gospel. What to the glory of God, working to the gore of God, as in Acts 20, verse 28. The gore of God incarnate, confirmed in the grandeur of the irreversible resurrection, which man, given 1,000 years of notice for, as in Psalm 22 and 16, could do nothing to derail. The resurrection could not be derailed, even though there were 1,000 years of notice. The devil had no power. God always gets things done. First the word, and then the deed. There are no exceptions. There is not one. In 25 odd years of research and writing, I have yet to find one. Nothing, neither produces nature, nor is able to produce any error in the scripture. But let me share with you the Acts 3:19 statement on what's happening to Christ, what's happening to the world. Despite the gospel, you say no. The gospel says, with all your heart, you must seek him. Then you will find him. Not with all your head, you must try to derail the gospel, deny its declarations, and make a new type of human nature and an outrageously unworkable type of physical nature. Not that. That doesn't work. The gospel is where it's always been. Don't do that, do this. You're doing that. Well, that's the gospel being verified that it won't work. What would you? In Acts 3, we are not told to go into a place or a desert to find Christ. It says if anyone says that, don't believe it. If anyone says Christ is here or Christ is there, don't believe it. That's the end of the mess. But when you come to Acts 3, where is he then? Where do you find him? Peter, repent therefore. Repent, yeah, repent. The state idea is to get the person who is supposed to have broken the state ideas of ethics and morals to repent. You should apologize. You should repent. You should be changed. You should be made into a different being, a new man, to fit in with the state's religion. The state wants you to repent. So does God. God wants you to repent of having things like such a state of ignorance and tyranny by your own will. He wants you to repent of being too strong for yourself, too weak for the tyrants, and not being humble enough to listen to reason, to truth, to the testimony of evidence. Repent. Is it to be to God or to man? Are you going to repent to people whose superficiality is such a spectacle it's hard to believe it could be present? Or towards God, whose majesty is such a spectacle, it's hard to believe anyone could ignore him. Acts 3:19, repent. I say again, repent. Without that, nothing. Luke 13 says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Speaking of a tragedy which had occurred. Repentance means coming back into the sound of the voice of God. Like a child who at last stops screaming. Repent. Therefore, and be converted. There is a conversion, but it's not to the state, which is just other people like yourself. Repent and be converted. Convicted, changed, transformed, reborn, regenerated. That your sins may be blotted out. Sin is like a great debt. It tends to aggregate with age. So that the times of refreshing, that's what's needed, refreshing based on truth and the power of God. So the times of refreshing. Christians, don't forget that. Times of refreshing are on the agenda. As you seek God, times of refreshing are provided. And that so that they may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Christ, who was preached to you before. Where is he? Verse 21 tells you. Whom heaven must receive. Let me tell you something. This earth on which I stand is not heaven. Agree? Right. What has to receive him? Heaven. Does that mean earth? No. Let's be clear. Whom heaven must receive. He is in heaven. Until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Heaven must receive Christ until everything is put back into order. I say, is everything put back into order now in Russia and China and in India? In the Middle East? I ask you, is it? Is it? Until it is, Christ is in heaven. When he comes back, there'll be order. Look at Psalm 2 as to the sort of power that God will use when the tarrying time for you to believe the gospel moves towards its close. Verse 8 of chapter 2, of Psalm 2. Ask of me, and I will give you, says God to his only begotten Son, the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them in pieces, you shall break them with a rod of iron, you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth, eh? God's saying this, we're just echoing it. Be instructed, you judges of the earth, with your new neo-morals, non-God-type rulings on religion, tyranny over truth. It says, and I but echo it, be instructed, you judges of the earth, in regard to your need. I say it again, be instructed, you judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear. That reverential delight in his magnificent majesty. And rejoice with trembling. Don't get big-headed. Don't throw your weight around. I see a bird come, a nice little whitish dove. And it makes its neighbor go away, a slightly smaller one. the bigger one eats. I see a bigger non-white type dove. Bigger still, it comes away. It chases away the bully. It goes on. Rejoice with trembling. Don't bully. Whether you're a government, whether you're a teacher, or whether you're someone pretending to be offended, don't bully. Kiss the Son lest he be angry. Have real devotion to the source of human nature as it really is. As it works in its delicate profundity. Don't rely on psychic quirks and adjustments and conditionings. Human nature is exceedingly deep. Simplistic philosophers have sought endlessly to recast it with disaster, whether in Siberia or in Chinese prisons or in Cambodian camp storage units for skulls. Where you should be devoted is where you come from, which knows what you're made of and what's necessary for you. Justice and truth and mercy, compassion and understanding, meekness, humility, and repentance and the gospel to which it leads. Kiss the Son lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Put your trust in him. Rely on him. Treat him as he is, your God. Treat the gospel as it is, his way. He doesn't have second thoughts. He knows his own mind. Don't be surprised that it's been clear for thousands of years without change. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your truth, divine, for your dealings, plenipotentiary, for your wisdom, patience. God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. Waiting patiently until the time is up and the right count is finished throughout all the ages. Oh, Father, we thank you for the gospel of peace and of grace, proclaiming peace to the heart, purity to the conduct, illumination to the mind, relationship to dear Lord and Father of mankind, to the only Savior, who came and did it and said, try me. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name.